Since this is the perfect spot to learn, ooh, teach me tonight. Let's start with the ABC of it. Roll right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of it. Teach me tonight. The sky's a blackboard high above you. If a shooting star goes by, I'll use that star to write I love you. A thousand times across the sky, one thing isn't very clear, my love. Should the teacher stand so near, my love? Graduation's almost here, my love. Come on and teach me tonight. I'll use that star to write I love you. A thousand times across the sky, one thing isn't very clear, my love. Should the teacher stand so near, my love? Graduation's almost here, my love. Teach me.
Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here and we're just getting started. Nice wet weather yesterday and heavy rain, so we can't really complain about much. So that means we'll be enjoying the nice mountain hikes and what have you in the coming weeks, because all the flowers will and the grasses will start to pop up and flower and blossom, and you'll be able to hopefully stay dry a bit, and you can go out to Kiana Point and other places like that. Great hike now. The albatross are actually hatching. And I was able to see three albatross chicks. Look like they're just a couple days old. So the monk seals, several there. If you go out there, please. Each time I go out there, I see something that's rather offensive, and that is people with their dogs and what have you. This is a rare occasion where a situation where people can actually come so close and in contact with the animals, not physically, that of course, but come near and where they can see them and photograph them and respect them. So be careful. If you see anyone with a dog out there in that area, don't hesitate to call and report them, because dogs will kill the birds, and we've had, and when they do, it's unbearable. It could be 10, 15, 20 birds killed at a time or more. And obviously, with the case of the children or the young adult people now, some are adults, or that are accused of killing albatross and maiming and cutting the body parts and what have you. So hopefully that get resolved soon, and the DLNR gets compensated for that, for the loss, and maybe if some of the penalties, if they are found guilty, or some settlement, they offer some damages to invest back into that area specifically, maintenance of the area and what have you. So anyway, that's that. But we thought we would have a conversation with the Black Lives Matter founders, co-founders, and they could not commit to anything. They've had a busy schedule, I assume. And so for those of you that heard say them saying they would come, apparently they're not going to be coming and attending, but we would have enjoyed that. I attended the presentation that they did give, Patrice Cullors and Alicia Garcer. And Black Lives Matter, very interesting and very good insight. And, you know, at my age and living in Mississippi and understanding, and I'm pretty much going to say that I've seen it all, but to see that there are younger people who are really understanding this, and everybody isn't just sitting on the log and waiting time to pass by. They're actually active and doing something. And if you get the chance, do listen in, because over the past year or so, we've had some discussions briefly and peripherally, and I find that many of you have expressed annoyance, that it was annoying to even think that there was a Black Lives Matter movement and resort to naming things as all life matter and blue lives matter. So they speak to all of that, and I'm sure many of you that are level-headed would understand most of it, and then there's some new things that you can learn from it. So it's an unfortunate thing. I thought we would have that occasion, but oh well. We're still Black here, and we'll still be holding the fort down and reflecting what we see and what we hear and what we think. So if you want to talk about anything today, feel free. I have a ton of things that I just update you on. And 524-1080, we haven't talked about Trump. And I'd like to hear some of you folk out there. What do you really think now? Those that support and those that do not support, what do you think? You know, I'm eager to hear things of, excuse me, been out in the rain and walking, but what's really exciting about this, and I'm basically enjoying myself and watching. You know, we say that we are a nation of laws, but we're also a nation of flaws. And a nation of hypocrisy. And that's nothing new. We all know that. But I just, real quickly, I just like to touch on a couple things that I observe. And I'm pretty happy that these things are occurring. Mr. Trump has manifested himself into that. And I'm happy that it's presenting itself, because these are opportunities. We get to learn the big lie. We get to learn, instead of saying who are they, as if we are all paranoid when we say they are out to get us, you know, the smart guy goes, well, who's they? You know, well, they are in the White House now, and the quarters of the White House. So. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question? A little patience will get you everything here. So anyway, these issues do exist, and I'm just curious. I just heard a recent news report with Mr. Trump, and it was a statement that he And he is conducting these so-called raids or flushing out of the so-called illegal immigrants and what have you, because that's keeping with his campaign promises. Well, I'd like to ask Mr. Trump, if you're really motivated in that sense and keeping with your campaign, can you share with us your tax forms? Because you did say you would release those, so keep in the same spirit. Okay, so there's the board is lit up, so be patient if you want to talk. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
I got three subjects. How you doing, Carol?
How are you?
The first one is illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is sanctuary cities and the fact that when I analyze sanctuary cities, illegal immigration, refugees, legal immigration, and then when I look at that in context of slavery, I see a very, very strange picture. And I realize that the slaves were not illegal immigrants. They were not immigrants. They were not refugees. And I think that when slavery is looked at in its proper legal context, Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I see that illegal immigration now, sanctuary cities, child support, all of it is interconnected. And the one who gets played the hardest is the American, whoever that is, or whatever that is. Even the word American is no longer able to be defined correctly, or even what America means.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't aware of none of this until they kept bringing all this up in the news. I didn't know nothing about illegal immigration. I didn't know about none of it. But they made me take a look at it. And it made me take a look at, is who really was the slave? Was the slave, wasn't an immigrant, wasn't an illegal alien, who really was the slave legally? Yeah, we know the word slave, but who really was it? Who really are we? If we're not immigrants, if we're not illegal immigrants, if we're not refugees, we don't fall under none of the legal status that everyone else that come here does. I just had to bring that up. And sanctuary cities? There was no sanctuary cities for no slave. This is outrageous when I think about this in context of slavery,
mm-hmm.
what it really, really means. And I'm going to listen off the air, sir, all right?
Well, yeah, call back and we'll talk more about that. The sanctuary
right.
city, because
okay.
here you take the Underground Railroad. There was
I know
no
that's
one
what I, defi- that's what I connected with
no
yeah.
one defined the sanctuary as a sanctuary, but some offered sanctuary, but it was one with consequences if you offered.
So I want to listen to you off the air, sir. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Yeah, I appreciate the former caller's well-meaning. I just wanted to tech talk with you. On the phone sounds good, but over the internet, there's a lot of white noise. So I buffer a lot also.
Well, they're taking over everything, man. You say you got white noise there on the internet? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, why you're not coming through crystal clear as the maybe news.
I think it would probably be your on your end because we've checked and it's streaming clear. You might want to check your volume or there must be some other connection. Try rebooting. By the way,
you're reliable enough, and I appreciate that you did your work over there.
Thank you for sending that document that you emailed me. I appreciate that. I read what you sent me, and I'm going to try to read a little more. Maybe we can talk about it one day on air.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, trying to comment about Trump and what I think or whatever, It's more got to become, what am I going to do to make the next man next to me, next woman next to me more comfortable, and vice versa. It's becoming so overly complicated. I almost got to disconnect from information overload.
Yeah, well, what I would say is that I wouldn't worry so much what we do to help the other guy. I would say we're all victims now. It's the chickens have come home to roost, my friend. It's no longer a white-black issue. It's no longer based on race. It's about the economics, and you ask, the other caller talked about a refugee or whatever, and it's about that now. We have a fascist in the White House who's sitting there, and that is just, it's something, one other aspect of life, and he is going to use it to his best ability, and the other's going to embrace him. So
I'm not trying to be unkind, but we are in a situation where predators will be predators. Mm-hmm. At least he's in the fifth on people being gentlemen and ladies.
Who is that?
What I'm picking up off the internet, Donald Trump insists that gentlemen be gentlemen, ladies be ladies, that we behave or you're fired or get out of here. And
yeah.
I hope it's been in the long arc of Donald Trump will be in the benefit of a world that is awful. Seems like Sharia law can be so mean. Maybe it's so well meant. It's just, I don't know. I'm almost just wrecked inside.
Why would we focus on Sharia law when we have this kind of law, the Trump law now? And let's forget Trump for a moment. We want to analyze him, and we want to psychoanalyze him and understand him and tear him apart and then put him back together. Trump really don't worry me. It's the Republican Congress that is sitting there allowing and cooperating with him, number one. Number two, look at the history of the individuals that he is putting in these key places. Do they speak of caring for people? Do they speak of racial justice? Did they ever? So we're focusing on Trump when I suggest and believe in my heart that it is the whole kit and caboodle, the Democrats as well. So now I'm saying to you, it's no longer, you don't have the luxury of sitting around thinking that whatever you do is going to help the black man be better. I think it's a climate now where you help yourself, then you'll help others by embracing the struggle, the fight that is upon us all. It's nothing to do with, it's no more white privilege. It'll eat at everyone. And it is eating at everyone. Gay people, queer people, straight people, religious people, Muslims, and others. You follow? So.
Oh, yeah, man. I know about neuro-linguistic programming and predictive programming. It was a victim of it because of my impressionability as a youth in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
where I kind of bullied Brian McAbee, the black boy. I was in the principal's office every day calling him Brian Blackbee, but when then Bassam Saidi came in from Arabia, we were all fascinated with him because we weren't told about him neuro-linguistically to hate him and pre-predictive programming to whatever.
I believe that we have the antidote for the Trumpism, the Trump sickness, the Trump threats, and that is we all understand that now we're all going to be victimized, one form or another. It's no longer, it's the black folk who's making trouble, so as long as we don't interact with them, we're never going to be contaminated with those issues of stress and hatred and racism and discrimination because we're over here across the tracks. Well, they remove the tracks and you are a target like anyone else, and that is the truth. He spoke openly in his campaign, correct?
Well, I just have to offer that all of us have to get up in the morning and P-R-E-Y.
Yeah.
Go for our prey and bring it home for our survival.
Yeah.
And then we go on and P-R-A-Y for our forgiveness of sins and ask for outer powers to take over us or whatever. Gotta come from within inside what we choose to do and we do well.
As you say, we go out in the morning and pray on others and then come back and then go back and pray, P-R-A-Y, to ask forgiveness for praying on others. That crap has to stop, too, because that's what I mean by it. We're all in this now. Trump's gun...
It's truly a schizophrenic planet.
Yeah, Trump's efforts is not single. He's not looking at one person. He's looking at the system. He wants to own it. He wants to dictate it. And so does the Republican presence and all of that. No one has ever said to him openly, you're wrong. We're American. It threatens the American fiber. That's the
maybe
problem.
Maybe we're in a headlock between faith and science. Science is telling us that the Arctic is melting so fast now that they're proposing a $500 billion project to refreeze the Arctic. And then everybody else going, no, man, there's no such thing as climate change. There's no such thing as this or that because of the Ballstock ice core samples and normal cycles and stuff. Man, when you fly over the country and see all the smog, you know something's been changed.
Well,
and the climate's paying dearly for it.
Once again, and I say that Trump is wrong in his approach, and I applaud him for trying to put a fix on the EPA, for example, but don't go too far. But on the other hand, the Democrats were in power, and right on Obama's nose, we had the poisoning of waters and Michigan and, you know, in the Detroit area and all of those things. So I think we all, you, me, got to start looking at this as one family, not a one white person, one black person, or one Mexican, or one Spanish. It's time. The doorbell is ringing. We need to open it and face reality now.
You ever heard of Douglas Rushkoff?
I may have. What? Tell us about it.
Throwing rocks at the Google bus. Growth has damaged prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like top 1% sit there collecting the stocks. The bottom 99% can't even pay their wages.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even pay their bills. The working poor is a lucky situation to be in now instead of being,
Hold that thought, and then if you would, call me back. I'm just in fairness to the other callers. There's three more. But hold that thought and call back after. I got three callers here now. But
okay.
We'll talk about that. Hold that thought now.
Okay.
Thank you. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Good morning, Mr. Carol Cox.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. This idea of illegal immigrants, I have family, and what my ex-father-in-law did, he had to prepare an affidavit so that his nephews could come to Hawaii. And that affidavit says that if when they come, he has to support them. And that is for the protection that we don't burden the government by paying people who are not citizens.
Right.
In de facto state. So with this idea of illegal immigrants, illegal is illegal. So if people who legally come here and want to find a job and have legal rights, and an illegal person take away a prospective job that a legal immigrant wants, what does that mean? When we pay for expenses for health care for illegal immigrants, what does that mean to us? And overall, with his idea of questioning and banning particular countries in Mesopotamia that the United States of America says that they are terrorist nations,
mm-hmm,
and a potential threat to America. Look at the predictable trend in Europe. How much terrorist bombings and all kind of stuff happening in Europe by these Muslims,
mm-hmm,
who are terrorists.
Okay.
And this idea of the Republican, I think, agenda is they want everybody somehow contribute to what we all receive. Look at most of the citizenry in America. A lot of them are a welfare state. They receive some form of income. And this is a big burden. And what do they do to contribute back for what they have? Many of them are not sent to social services where they can participate and somehow contributing back for the free monies that we all receive. In fact, some of the government retirees make more income than in their retirement than those who are working. So what do we have to say?
So
is Donald Trump actually an advocate of the devil, or is he trying to bring back the values of America?
Well,
what is it?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm just speaking to what you've stated. First of all, you know, our policy is that I didn't want to interrupt and let you complete that. Is number one, when you say the Muslims are terrorists, all and you suggest that they all are. Well, that's
hold your breath.
That, you notice, you observe how I allow you to just say without interruption anything, right? So let's not engage in this Republican squabble. This, you're not going to find that here on this show. So what I'm saying, in speaking to specifics, you say that the Muslims are terrorists and they bomb and blow up and create mayhem. Okay. Well, that's wrong, number one. You cannot do that, and not on the show, and you shouldn't do it anywhere because you don't have the facts. And secondly, I recall some time ago, not too long ago, a white male walked into a black church and shot up the place and killed 8 or 9 people. And, you know, and then there are black people on the street being gunned down for parking tickets and not wanting to stand there and be beaten or what have you, and shot in the back like a dog, right? And so you're right. We shouldn't adopt all of these things. But when you say welfare, who's on welfare? How do you know your president, the sitting now, is not on welfare? He won't release his taxes. Anybody else on welfare would have to release all their finances, and if they don't, they fail to disclose that, they go to jail or be penalized or kicked off the system. So when you loosely say all, and you injected a bit of religious stuff there, I would suggest, and from my thinking, historically, we need to get past that. You can't listen to the radio, or even me, and draw conclusions that one entity is evil, and then you sit back and you're cheering on. We've had Desert Storm. What are the names of those actions that we've had to take place over? And we've done some bad things ourselves, and we continue to do bad things. Is that the fix, by assailing them or assaulting them with words such as that and welfare? Have you gone through the Midwest and the rural country sides where there's farmers? How much subsidy is given to farmers? How much? You there?
I don't know, but I know produce and livestock is heavily subsidized.
Okay, so would you call that welfare? But would you, if you went through the inner cities and those people that you surely were implicating, would you, if you were to give them enough money to pick up a combine and a plow, a set of plows and some land and go out and farm and have proper irrigation, do you think that they're all lazy and don't want anything, they just want handouts? Do you think they would accept to live in a nice open country and plowing the field and raising some grain and selling it to the co-op, but you don't see
well,
that.
Well, you know, can I share something?
Yeah.
The cost? It's the culture that we produce. It's the lifestyles we produce. Somehow there's this tax system where the Democrats are acting like Republicans. They act like an oligarchy, yet they say they're Democrats, where they go to ground level and talk to the constituents about the issues of life. And yet, what the public, the people want, they create their own agenda, Democrats. The Democrats have become like the Republicans and oligarchy. They make the decision as to what they want to. They don't carry out the desires of the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's their own agenda. They act like an oligarchy.
Yeah,
what
but
they've become.
But is that also said, if you see it unfolding here on across the aisle, the Republicans are doing the same. They're doing playing out exactly what you're saying. You suggest that they're wanting to get their agenda, regardless of how ill or sick or putrid the comments out of the cabinet-level members and the president himself now. Could you say the same thing about them? And let's go back a bit. Now, you've been listening to the show quite a bit and appreciate that. But let me ask you a question. At what point do we start to look at reality and say we are either the Republicans don't respect us and have no need for us only on an election day, and they're trying to fix that where they won't need us during the election through voter manipulation and what have you, okay? So let's say that Donald Trump talked about fraudulent voting. Why not him do ask for an investigation of the interruption or disruption of the rights of others to vote, period? Why didn't we hear something of that nature?
Disruption of what, sir?
The voting, access to voting, creating voter rules that impede people going to the polls, discourage them from going to the polls. Why?
Who has done that? Who has done that?
Oh, well, okay. If I got to tell you that, then I will stick to the basics. I thought you were on top of this one. The voter.
The idea of voting is a constitutional right.
To
vote or not to vote.
Thank you.
I live in a senior complex.
Right.
A lot of the seniors don't vote anymore.
Right.
They're frustrated with the political system.
Right. But
a lot of the senators. Seniors don't vote, sir.
Do you think that they would, if
with the political system,
if it was made easy for them, for example, they do go shopping or something, they go to the doctor or something, right? Is some method that would be implemented to allow them to vote where when they register their cars? Many seniors still have cars. You know, what is there that could be done to enhance the accessibility to or access to the voting poll, the booth? So it's vote by mail. Or you understand all of that. So I think that it's going to get a little worse before it gets better, but I think these are times that's going to be revealing, and all you have to do is be waiting to learn and listen. And I would, for me, if you and I were sitting in the park and talking just straight, I would say to you that hatred has no place if you're hoping to draw a logical conclusion on any subject. If you allow 1 gram or 1 fragment of hatred or disparaging remarks to carry on, then your conclusion that you draw is going to be contaminated. It's not going to be good. And so this thing about Muslims, what about Catholics? Have they killed many people? And I know the answer is going to be, but that was old time. But what's the history of the Catholics and the world, the new world and the old world? Have any idea?
Well, I don't know too much about the Catholics. I know about the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition.
And what was that? What was the Spanish Inquisition?
I like to talk about peasant tense.
No. But see,
present tense today.
But if I were to sell you,
present tense today.
Well, then I let me get me
you
a beer.
Make a difference now.
Then let me you get a beer a with you so I can sort through what's fact and what's fiction with you. Because if you're saying you want to dismiss the past, and we don't have a foundation in discussion, so all of our conclusions are based on right now, right here. That's not logical, and that's not real. And so when a person say, let's ignore the past, then I don't know where to have a rational or logical conversation with you, because that's just...
Okay, the past, we had the Spanish Inquisition, but today, what are the Catholics are doing in your frame of knowledge that is equated to terrorist Muslims today?
Well, you know, just the revelations of the sexual assaults and the sexual and the disparity that they have with women in churches and what have you, and I haven't heard them say they've given anything back that they took. See, it's not all about what you did; it's what you're doing and what you're not doing. So, if they acknowledge that there was this bad behavior that they can be held accountable, then go back and give it back. Do you see any effort like such as that? No.
Oh, you say about women's equal rights.
Yeah.
The laws of nature and God's nature is what the Declaration of Independence includes. And for peace, for success, we must live by those standards. And the Catholic and many Christians who live by the laws of nature and gods of nature means that we succeed in living our lives in such a way that law and order, in such a way that is for our best interest for humanity.
So what put that, let's put that in the English language. What does that mean? Interpret that for it. Does it mean that it's okay to discriminate against women in the church? Because that's good for the law, whatever, the rules of the church, or... What are you suggesting?
Well,
rules should be different from women than men?
No, you're telling me that a man's law is more important than God's law. That's what you're telling me, right?
No, I'm saying that a man with a robe on has no right to discriminate and suppress and violate the rights of anyone, regardless what color cap or shoes he wear. What kind of rosary
right.
he rubs in his hand, that has nothing to do with law. That's talking about stepping back and understanding that women are equal to men, and that's the bottom line. And man does not have a right to discriminate, as well as even if it's race. So when we don't understand that, then you and I are going to forever have these conversations that go round and round in a circle and end up nowhere.
Can I say this to you?
Yeah, because I got
the man's anatomy and physiology is, and the way the woman is, they complement each other. Man is made to be the head over women.
Well, I didn't read that book.
It is, even though you say we have equal rights.
We do.
Men and women have equal rights.
We
do. That is the laws of nature.
Well, okay.
God implemented the laws in the physical nature of a man and a woman.
Well, do me a favor. Give God this phone number and have him to call and tell us that himself. I'm tired of hearing everybody interpret it for God. Can you just give him my number and ask him to call up and on the show, and so we could all hear what he has to say? I would really appreciate that, because there's something about this guy shows up in every conversation, but nobody can. You'd think now, by now, he would be willing to come forward and present himself and tell us in the final word. Is that possible? So if you know him well, hook us up. Get him the number, if you would, please, and I'll put him first in line here.
Take care.
All right, brother.
I'll call.
Thank you.
Have a good morning.
Aloha. Oh, I just disconnected one. Call back, if you would. I just unbutton you on the... Go ahead, caller, with your comment or question. Hello? You there?
Good morning, Carl.
Yes.
Well, this is Garnett Howard. If I could, I'd like to alert your listeners to a draft environmental assessment that's available. It involves the Oahu Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And the assessment is on a project they're proposing for wetlands up in Kahalu.
Okay. Do me a favor. I was going to talk about that in the next hour. Will you call back, be the first in line, and we'll talk about it briefly, or however long you need to?
That's great. Should I call it then?
Yeah, call at 10. Well, 10:05, okay? And we'll just, we'll bump you up there.
Okay,
hey,
great.
Thank you. Aloha. Call to thank you for waiting. I hope you were not the one that I cut off. So.
Yeah, but I got you right back again, so that's okay.
I'm here.
Okay, I'd like to address a couple of things here, but they're both related. One is, and I feel like a broken record on this, but one is the worldwide Christian movement to take over the world, starting with America. There's different organizations. I'm not talking about the Christians who take in the poor and do all kinds of charity and who go to church on Sunday and sing their songs or whatever they do. I'm talking about the movement behind them, which is taking over the government. And I think now they're delighted with Donald Trump because he's so, low IQ, I guess, or whatever, that he's easily persuaded. The first thing they want to do is destroy the judicial system because that says that, you know, if they get rid of that, then they can teach creationism and anti-abortion and all that. And so this is a powerful movement, and that's what's been behind the Tea Party right along.
Mm-hmm.
There are different groups of them, but I think they're all under the same umbrella. They're basically evangelists and fundamentalists, but like the Christian nationalists and the dominionists and the Catholic Christians. By the way, Catholics are Christians. They're the first Christians. Opus Dei, there's a whole bunch of organizations, but I think you get the point.
Right.
So this is a powerful international organization. Now I'd like to talk about various forms of subsidies or government paying for things that, I'm going to bring it up to wars. Most of our wars, in the last, 100 more than 100 years, but are related to defending not American interests, but Americans' interests, such as the oil isn't America's oil over there and wherever,
It's mm-hmm.
Not anywhere. Okay, that's rich men's oil. And so in going back to, let's say, China, when America got its open-door policy and got all its, its foot in the door in China, then the military goes and defends them.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of American interest. So the point I'm making here is that is a huge, I don't know what else to call it, but a subsidy. The whole cost of our armed forces to defend these rich people's interests in foreign countries.
Yes.
And, it's imperialism, no matter what how you slice it. And then one more thing is about anti-abortion thing, yet these people, war is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can kill all the viable human beings you want to as long as it's in the name of war.
Right.
And so-called, quote, defense. And this is why, one of the reasons why America is so feared and hated in the world. Because we scare people because of the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot say abortion is murder, and I don't know what to think about abortion. I'm certainly not one way or the other. I'm not, really.
Mm-hmm.
I am against, if you're going to drop a bomb and kill innocent people,
mm-hmm.
then don't drop the bomb.
Right.
And so, you can't say this form of killing is wrong, such as abortion, but to go kill babies and old people and infirmed and so on, called collateral damage. They don't even do the body counts. They didn't do that in World War I or World War II even.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the My Lai Massacre.
Right.
Where they just, was that like 500 people? That America just gunned, I think they dug kind of a gulch. And
Lieutenant Kelly.
Kelly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then his community said, well, for the rest of his life, they'd give him free meals. And
mm-hmm.
and the barber said he'd cut his hair for free. Okay. Anyway, I've taken enough time.
No, anytime. But this thing about American and divesting, it's their America now, right? But I tell you, when I joined the Army, and I'm from Mississippi, the real America, that's if all these other Americans are running around talking about they're Americans, come to Mississippi. We are the true Americans.
I see.
Yeah, you understand.
I think so, yeah. I do. I think I get it.
Yeah. Where they just don't give your name. They have a bullet for your name if you speak out.
Yes.
Right, real America. So,
yes.
But even though being a young black man, having absolutely no clue what was going to happen to me in my future, in my life, but I had a dream, and then I recognized that, and you know, I thought, well, I know I'm an American. I was born here, but I get treated like slop.
Yeah.
So, but when I really became really involved and appreciated that I was an American was when I went to Korea as a young kid, still young, trying to smoke Camel cigarettes. They tell you how stupid that was. And, you know, so over there, and I go to the places in the back country and taking pictures, just enjoying myself, because I'd never thought I would even be able to do this, right, let alone leave Mississippi. And I would meet people, and they were so excited, and they said, "You are an American. Can you teach us English?" It was at that time that I realized, wow, if people are happy to see you and talk to you, they don't see a black or white or green. They sell an American, right? And I know it's possible. So we've just someone backed the stupid bus in our front yard and parked it and left it, and then we're all being stupid now. And like, where are we going to go? Where are we going? Well, they're taking it from us, or we don't have any gas because the Puerto Ricans or the Mexicans or the blacks took it from us. And then the fat cats that are making these rules are flying around in jets, and they don't need visas. They just have a customs agent to walk in and walk out.
Well, you know, we're more alike than different.
Yeah.
I mean, skin color is skin. It serves the same purpose no matter what color it is. If you scratch it, it feels the same. A mosquito bites it, it itches the same. If you cut it, it bleeds.
Man, I look at Justin Timberlake and the other kid that dance, and I thought, wow, they're blacker than me. Because, you understand, I mean, we need to get past the stupid stuff.
Yes, we do. You're right.
And catch up on what we've been left. They left us along the side of the road and saying, you mull over this stupid things in life. And then, and I have better words for it, but I just enjoy it rather than cursing, you know. But the point is, they left us with this, and now we're mulling over it, and then we allow it to manifest in hatred, and we don't even know who we're hating. We're just repeating nonsense to qualify for them, because they're keeping a record on you and me. They don't really care about us. They care about the money.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're for.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you for calling in. We'll be back in the next hour.
Okay, aloha.
All right. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, aloha. I have one question for your audience. I'd like to know the difference between abortion and bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother.
All righty. Can you tell us what you think?
Oh, they both kill.
Right. So what do we do?
Get rid of both.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. How have you been?
Aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, folks, this is a reality. It's knocking now, and I know many of you are probably scared out of your wits right now. You don't know which way to turn, and you don't want to speak up, and you don't want to say anything, because if you don't say anything, you won't get any trouble, and then maybe you won't. Maybe the silent guy, nice, maybe you won't have a problem. But here's the reality. Even if you went to church on every day and slept in church now and prayed every day, it's a different world. The Trump, the Republican, the lame Democrats, they've all been party to a game that has been perpetrated on us, whether it's in the judicial system, whether it's in the financial system, whatever it is. And each one of them claims that if you give it to us, we'll fix it better than they did. But at the end of the day, the fixing is an impact on all of us. And now it has rendered us to the basic amoebas are smarter than we are now. We say some of the stupidest things that it's like, wow, where did that come from? You know, as I said, Trump is willing to stand and say on public forum, TV, radio, newspaper, that He is hunting down people and deporting them because he's keeping in spirit with his promises and his campaign. And as I've said earlier, he campaigned that he would return and release his tax returns. We don't see them. So if a guy can pick and choose, then that tells you how they think of us. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning again.
Yes, sir.
You're right about Donald Trump and his taxes. I think possibly his downfall might be had to do with his taxes and his, if he has conflict of interest where his business entity is involved with his presidency, that might be his downfall. But the thing I wanted to mention, you told me about subsistences that the farmers have.
Right.
Did you know, because of that, the cost of our produce and is lower. If they gave subsidies to health food stores, like they give subsidies to farmers, the cost of produce would go way, way down.
Mm-hmm.
Because the health food stores, the organic farmers, don't have subsidies like the regular farmers. The cost of their merchandise costs more.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to mention that.
Okay, in the next hour, after we talk to the caller that I asked to call back at 10, call back and we'll talk about that. For example, subsidies. People, lobster fishing here in the state of Hawaii. So they decide, lobster fishing is declining, the number of lobsters, so we'll buy you out. And so they the government pays large amounts of money to fishermen, some fishermen that were fishing for lobster out in the northwest Hawaiian islands, and compensate them. So, is it a right? Well, yeah, he has a license, but if the population of fish or lobsters decline, why does the government need to buy him out? If it's good to stop it, then stop it. But anyway, call back in the next hour, and we'll be back and talk more. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you so much. We'll be back. CarolCox.com if you want to pick this show up and podcast. Aloha.
Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
On a travel ban from several Muslim nations.
Are we really happy with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say. Searching but not finding, understanding anyway. We're lost in this masquerade. Both afraid to say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way. We're lost inside this lonely game we play. Thoughts of leaving disappear every time I see your eyes. No matter how hard I try to understand the reason that we carry on this way, we're lost in a masquerade. To say we're just too far away from being close together from the start. We tried to talk it over, but the words got in the way. We're lost inside this lonely game we play. Just start over, but it's so hard to do when you're lost in the masquerade. When you're lost in a masquerade, we're both lost in this masquerade. We are lost. Oh, we are lost, oh, yeah. We're lost in a masquerade. We're lost in a masquerade. Oh, we're lost in a masquerade.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning again, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day out here, and those of you that are listening in by podcast or streaming on the mainland or wherever you are, Italy and Wisconsin and Chicago and North Carolina, aloha, and thank you for joining. I'm thinking the party that I asked to call back is on the line now regarding a draft environmental impact statement regarding the Oahu SPCA siting a facility in a wetland. I think we'll bring him on and see what we have here. Caller, thank you for waiting. Is this regarding the draft environmental impact statement?
Yes, Carl. Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime. So what do we have here? I've gotten bits and pieces, and I downloaded and was going to read it. there are some concerns out there that it's Punalulu or Kahalulu?
It's Kahalulu.
Okay. And what's the background? What's going on there?
Slightly over 2 years ago, the OSPCA bought three parcels of land out there in a wetland. The site is located on the mountain side of Gap Highway, between Wahei Road and Wailehua Road. Without obtaining the necessary SMA permit, special management area permits, or grading permit, in 2015 they went in there and they began to build an access road to their new facility.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent you pictures of that. You can see those. There's been a lot of activity, but it's finally come down to they have filed a draft environmental assessment with the city. The city has sent that to the state office of OEQ. OECD.
OEQC.
They filed an environmental notice putting that draft out for public comment. I wanted to alert your listeners to the fact that that draft is out for comment, and they only have 30 days to make their comments and get them back to the city. The other thing they should be aware of is that the draft that's available to look at is very incomplete, and it leaves out a lot of very important information that a reader would need in order to do a proper evaluation of the draft.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so OEQC has it now and is reviewing it. And what is the status of it in the neighborhood board? Did they support it, or have they heard this matter or discussed it?
The only neighborhood board that has, to the best of my knowledge, that is even aware that this is going on is the Kahalu board.
Okay.
They've received information on several occasions from OSPCA. At their January meeting, the Kahalu board passed a resolution opposing the development and recommending that the city, state, and federal agencies involved in permitting it deny the permits.
Mm-hmm. And where would it be easily accessed for comment? They could go to, the listeners can go to Hawaii OEQC, Office of Information Quality, which is found under the Health Department. You have a number for them, or do you have a link or email to that?
Yeah, the best thing they should do, let me see if I've got this here, I do have it somewhere, is go to the OEQC webpage.
Okay.
They Google OEQC Environmental Notice.
Okay.
That will get them to the Environmental Notice, which is a publication. Yeah. On page 7 of the February 8th Environmental Notice, they'll find a sheet with all the information they need.
Okay.
It will provide them with a link to the draft itself, which is a fairly large file, and it tells them who to contact with their comments.
Now, let me ask you this. This site, I'm somewhat familiar with it. It's a wetlands, considered as a wetland, and it's a special management area. So what then is the source of sewage discharge? Is it through septic tanks, or is it through city sewer?
There is no city sewer to that location.
Okay. Have they put in for a permit for a sewer connection, hookup fee, hookup permit?
They wouldn't be able to get hookup to a sewer. What they have said outside the draft assessment is they will install a septic system.
They'll install a septic, an independent septic system. Oh, yeah. I see. And in a wetland area. So how safe is that? How dependable is that, the the type of water and the oceanic influence. Is it brackish in there or fresh? Is it all fresh where they would be sighting this?
It's located about 200 yards from the Paniole Bay. It's at an elevation of about 5 or 6 feet.
Now, this area is plagued with, even as we speak, there's issues like the hygienic store in that area, and those areas are testing high occasionally in bacteria.
That's right. Board of Health is looking at that very closely. They're surveying the area. But one of the things that's not made clear in the draft environmental assessment and should be is that it appears that they want to postpone getting a Board of Health or State Health Department permit for the septic system until after they get their SMA permit. And I think that's incorrect. We need to know that the health department has, in fact, as required by law, approved the design of their septic system before they get any of their permits.
Mm-hmm.
I really think under Hawaii Administrative Rules 62-something, they're required to do that, but there's no indication in the draft environmental assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Their septic tank has been approved by the state health department.
And they are the owners of this land. OSPCA is the owner, or are they leasing it from state? Is there any government property involved?
It's private land.
Okay.
OSPCA has an agreement of sale with the landowner to develop three parcels right in the middle of the wetland.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And have other agencies responded or been queried for some issued any opinions on theirs? Have they been consulted?
Well, as you probably know, that when you begin to do a draft environmental assessment, you do what's called pre-consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it right, you contact the neighbors, all the landowners, the stakeholders, you go to all the communities, the neighborhood boards, you contact all the government agencies that you should, like, in this case, the Army Corps of Engineers has a big role because it's a wetland.
Mm-hmm.
And you do all that ahead of time. They've done virtually none of that. They did contact in pre-consultation the Army Corps of Engineers. The Army Corps of Engineers is not under any obligation to respond, and in fact, they didn't. But we know, for example, that there's a wetland determination, it's a jurisdictional determination by the Army Corps, that this is in fact a wetland, that it falls under Section 404 of the Clean Water Act.
Right.
If you're going to build anything there, all that information is pretty much absent from the draft environmental assessment. That's probably another reason we say
and no
just incomplete.
No formal notice or letter or response from the Army Corps?
No.
Were they consulted, or, I mean, they would, maybe there a complaint or something, an inquiry or file a FOIA to see if there's been any consultation, because if it's clear the waters of the state will be impacted, then clearly they should have some comment, either yay or nay, and I would press them on that if I was the community.
Well, I agree completely with you on that, and I've talked with representatives at the Army Corps District Office. We're trying to get them to, at this point, comment on the draft environmental assessment. Not sure that they will. But we know that based on a complaint from the Army Corps by a resident in the area that there is either an ongoing or a completed investigation and process by the Corps.
Mm-hmm.
What I had was that investigation was incomplete, and they wouldn't release any information about it until it was complete.
How about archaeological assessment?
All of that information is asked from the draft environmental assessment.
How about an archaeological assessment? Is there any? Has there been anything with SHPTI or State Historical Preservation?
There's a sort of a boilerplate statement in the draft. They contacted the State Historical Office and did not receive a reply.
Oh.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they've done a wildlife and birds survey either.
Well, I do know that in the vicinity there are shearwaters, and the, which are migratory, not endangered. But there's a Hawaiian stilt, and occasional the ducks are there, the koloa. I do know that in areas, along, especially driving along the Kalana or the Cam Highway on the right-hand side of the ocean side.
Right. And that's actually part of the Kahalu Regional Park on the ocean side there.
Mm-hmm. So this area would be, it should be considered, or at least reviewed for the presence or the impact on those species. Okay, well, I'll try and post something up on our website. If you could send me the link, it'll save me some time to that directly to Carol at carolcox.com, and I'll post it on our website.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Because the draft doesn't mention that the development is proposed in a wetland, and the wetlands is what gives the land the greatest amount of protection.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Then that just flows on down through the whole document. It's against city policy to allow any development in a wetland that is not dependent on a wetland location. And an animal kennel is not dependent on a wetland location.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the functions that they perform is to rehabilitate dogs that they take in. That involves taking the dogs for a walk every day.
Mm-hmm.
You simply cannot walk a dog in a marsh. And this wetland is described legally as a persistent wetland with marshy, mucky soils.
Mm-hmm.
The construction there should be prohibited just on that alone. But they don't provide any reliable information in the draft assessment about how much fill they're going to bring into the wetlands to build out their parking lot, for example.
Right, and what type of piling or foundation and that kind of, is it to stabilize it? Are they going to be driving piles or posts?
Yeah, they do have a reasonably good description of the piles and the deck that they're putting in place in order to put up their buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But they cost over things like the parking lot. And they say the parking lot is only going to cost $350 to construct.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy. They're going to have to grade it. When they're done grading it, they're going to have mucky, saturated soil, so they're going to have to bring in a whole lot of fill. They've already been cited by the city for illegal grading and filling.
Grading and stockpiling?
They didn't use the word stockpiling. Grading, grubbing, and filling.
Okay.
To build their all-weather access road. Those notices of violation have been ongoing for...
They might be Clean Water Act violations. They might be Clean Water Act violations. And how about an NPDES? Because this facility clearly is going to be washing the animals and what have you. What are they, discharge of wastewater?
Absolutely. Water is a huge issue.
Okay, running off the property.
With
so
wastewater, the whole NPDES regulatory regime is brushed away, and they said they want to deal with that after they get the estimation.
Well, no, you can't. Well, I would suggest that you file a complaint with the Clean Water Office, 586-4309, and just follow them and make them go and do the work. And there's a viewer. I can send you a link to the viewer that will allow you to go there and see that specific site by name, search, and tell you what documents have been submitted. But if they've submitted nothing, there won't be anything there.
Right. I'm working with a group of residents in Kahalu. We're preparing our comments on the draft environmental assessment. They will run, there will probably be 40 or 50 specific comments.
Okay.
It will probably run 60 or 70 pages. It's very extensive. Among the key points that we're going to address, the property is in a wetland. Cost exceeds $500,000, and so it will require an SMA major.
Right. I was going to get. Okay.
If we can only get one thing out of this, we want to make the case that a full environmental impact statement is required.
Mm-hmm.
And there have to be public hearings.
Avoid
public hearings.
And let me caution you a little warning about the city office there. There's this SMA minor and major, right?
Right. They applied for a minor.
Right. And now, here's a question. Now, if they apply for that, did the city give it to them? Because you might want to be talking to the director of DPP, Department of Planning and Permitting, to make sure. If it's $500,000, that puts it into SMA major. So
right.
Therefore, it shouldn't be taken so lightly. And then I would engage with them, with that office, and say, look, because it could be just someone signing the inspector that's assigned to that, just justify why it doesn't need any public comment or public hearings or go before the neighborhood board. So maybe the neighborhood board sounded like it took its own initiative.
Right.
But
the neighborhood board was fortunate to have Art Jalicom as the mayor's delegate, the representative.
Mm-hmm.
But Art retired in December.
Yeah, we hate him for that.
That's a big loss for us. I believe DPP is doing a pretty good job on this. They have not given them an SMA minor, and they won't until the draft environmental assessment is commented on and then repaired and sent back in as a final
mm-hmm.
environmental assessment. And we're making the strongest case we can that, A, there's environmental impact, and B, the cost is $500,000, and you have to satisfy both of those. You have to be under $500,000, no impact to get a minor. And we're saying that
mm-hmm.
this project clearly fails both those tests.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. If you have anything else, and if not, what we'll do is I'd be happy to extend another whatever time period in the future, near future, if you want to call up and share some of the comments or anything else you find. And then we'll look at it also. I'll go do some reading up on it.
What I'll do, I'll send you some more information. And what I really urge your listeners to do is take a look at this and get comments to DPP before March 10th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was a dog for or against the facility?
My dogs are all rescued. They came from OSPCA. We rescued them from OSPCA.
Yeah,
of the word.
They're good people. It's kind of disheartening or disturbing when there could be some other place to site this, you know. And it would be good for that side of the island too, but in a wetland, you know.
Yeah, the board, the Kahalu board, basically says, you know, we'd love to have that kind of a facility over here, but not in a wetland.
Right.
For a wetland.
And we can't afford to lose any more wetland. I mean, they are the filters and the birthplace of young fish and young crustaceans and others, right? And it gives fresh water and refuge to So it would be a shame to lose yet another acre or 2 acres or whatever the amount is.
My rough estimate is that they will cover over about 3 acres of wetlands with their roads and parking lots and buildings and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But the road is an all-weather road, and it's going to act like a berm. It's going to block replenishment of about half that wetland. Will no longer get replenishment from the Hiamoa stream. And over time, the wetland will dry out.
Right.
Be lost. So there's a direct loss of maybe 3 acres, but there's the potential for, over time, the loss of maybe 14 or 15 more acres of wetland.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk again, and then I'll go and send me those links, and I'll put them at carolcox.com. And if you have a website or anything that you're going to be posting stuff up on, or you want to give, or you want anybody to call you, give your phone number or website.
The best thing for them to do is to write to me.
Okay.
Email is garnetth. GARNETTH at gmail.com.
Give it one more time.
Garnett H.
GARNETT?
H.
Okay.
gmail.com.
Garnett H.
Garnett with a G.
Okay.
GARNETT.
Okay, gotcha.
And we'll share information. We've got a lot of information in our archive here. We'll come talk to you if you have a group that's interested. But we have to move quickly.
Got to move fast.
Very far off.
March 10th?
Yeah. Comments have to be in by March 10th.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Okay, Carol. Thank you.
Aloha. Thanks for calling. All righty. So if you folks want to join in and participate and contribute to the protection of this wetland, go to Garnett, H. Garnett, G-A-R-N-E-T-T, at gmail.com. Communicate with him. But also go to OEQC or call the city and write a letter saying that you oppose this or what have you, or make sure they take strict measures. But anyway, there were a couple of callers, and I assume you want to call up and continue the earlier conversation. Feel free. 524-1080 is the number. 524-1080 is the number you can call, and we'll open it back up. Got about 27 minutes, so if you have anything you want to say, don't be shy. But again, regarding this current state of affairs, because I hate to call it political, because people will so quickly dismiss it when they classify things or characterize it as political, and that's something we have no clue what it means. It's like when we say it's all corrupt, but we know that it's corrupt, but what are some of the specific acts that lends itself or that presents itself as corrupt? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hey, buddy.
Yes.
The Kindness Diaries on Netflix, I'd like to recommend so people could take a world tour and a contemporary experience. The Kindness Diaries on Netflix. This guy takes a three-wheel motorcycle across from Los Angeles to, I'm not sure where he wound up at. Maybe we haven't seen the end of the series, but we left it at where he made it into Calcutta, I suppose, 7 episodes. And then the other thing is talk about subsidies and subsidizations. Scientists are trying to get $500 billion in place to refreeze the Arctic by putting in 10 million fans to blow salt water up there and freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
So look forward to those subsidies. And then the Rushkoff thing just basically stands on its own. YouTube it and see him talk to the California Club.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube Rushkoff, California Club. Just Rushkoff itself will bring up throwing rocks at the Google bus, how growth has destroyed prosperity. And if you want to see the world in a way that is endorphin-releasing because you feel such joy, it's like the first couple episodes to do that, Then by the time you make it to where he wanted to pass through Iran and Pakistan to get into India, he had to call back on a Turkish buddy to get his bicycle loaded on a airplane and have it flown into India, I suppose, because going through Iran and Pakistan, where everybody's going, no, dude, no, you don't want to do that. Yeah. So I can leave you all there and let somebody else call in, or hopefully you can bring us around to some more other topics.
Yeah, well, what topics do you want me to bring you around to? How to vote smart?
No, I think how to get a quality out of life when it feels like reality is jumping into Jaws' mouth.
Well, hey, do you remember the Hands Across America?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Well, yeah, wasn't that awesome? I mean, that's being mobile and forward-moving and forward-thinking and being free. Did you participate in that at all?
No, I've kind of, with the diagnosed one, sitting at home, sucking up the funds, isolating, and really trying to find a way to re-engage through a clubhouse or something. But I help out a veteran at the friend or at least associate.
Yeah, and so that Hands Across America, I remember it, and I participated in it. And I know that in every American, there is that effort. There is that desire to be nice and be, because we are nice people.
That veteran I'm helping is what you described in spades. Not only is he intelligent, not only has he learned to love farming in Iowa, surviving and working the land in minus degree weathers in the winter for years, went into the Army, went through a lot of different schools. It's a great story. It's like he learned basic training and then wound up as an environmental scientist, an X-ray technician in Panama, instead of winding up on the Ho Chi Minh Trail because he didn't really do good in language school. He was multitasking in a hospital and was doing wonderful. His people appreciated that and caught him playing in a language laboratory. Asked for instructions on how to use the equipment, and he proceeded. Well, his people around him in the Army were so impressed with him that they sent him to language school where he kind of washed out, and he's been dyslexic, you know. And he couldn't meet that challenge, so the general says, "Who do you think you are? This is the Army. You got to go. You just can't quit language school." So they were severe on him, and somehow at the call station or something, he allowed the clerk to make an error. There was two Richard Lynns on the board, so he let the clerk send him to Panama, and that was a brouhaha. So he wound up being a successful environmental scientist in Panama and X-ray tech, and then he even had a nervous breakdown, and it was taken away.
So are you former military?
I was Air Force for about 10 months as a medical lab tech. Graduated third in my class, but got thrown out as a superficial, et cetera, et cetera. 9 months for just, but, I wasn't a horrible person, but, man, I didn't last the Air Force's distinct character longer than that 10 months.
So you are a recipient of Veterans Affairs benefits?
No.
Nothing, huh?
No, it's like this with me. I got the undesirable discharge, third level of non-punitive. No longer exists. It's undesirable. But, let's see.
But they recruited you, and or you volunteered.
Oh, man, they even recruited me after admitting I smoked THC.
I see.
In the recruiting station. Then they put me in, and then they sent a CID agent to be my roommate. Somehow we got together. He set me up with some bunk poison. I brought him back some good stuff because it was so bad. Oh, man.
I see. Yeah, but again, I hear this song about Veterans Affairs. And there are many veterans that actually served and got a raw deal. They just dismissed them and labeled them as unfit and what have you. And I was always curious, what has that person received and how long did they serve, you know?
Oh, that happened to me. I got a pair of boots, Army boots, from a giveaway at the Capilani Park. It didn't fit, so I went back to Tripler or something to maybe get an exchange. When they looked up and saw my character of discharge, they snatched the boots out of me, gave me the stink eye like you wouldn't believe, and I left there going, oops. That was a mistake.
Yeah, you were you were just ripped off.
Just totally treated by UCMJ rules and regulations, and they're severe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could have been better, boy, and I'm trying.
Yeah, well, a lot of the take our country back and all of that mantra, I notice a lot of veterans and are singing that song, and I'm still trying to wonder why. It's
yeah, the World War II veteran was a hero, and then the rest of them are kind of been whipped like dogs. And my friend's getting a little nervous. He wants me to get off the phone, so.
Yeah, okay.
Later.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Thank
you.
Carol.
Aloha.
Bye.
We unbutton another call. Call a call back if you'd like to, in exchange of releasing one, the other button. Anyway, this is... I think for the people that are religious and that they are, I would, if I was your friend and you trusted me, and you asked me my opinion, I would say it's about a reality check for all of us, because a lot of the things that we are guided by and believe in just is not conducive, does not lend itself today to just free thinking and understanding. We speak from the Bible, we speak from a religious standpoint, and then it seems as if the person that you're talking to from that stance has blinders on, and I'm just searching for an answer, and I think that maybe we all need to step back and check to see if what is really going on here, whether the religious thing is fueling this, or are we just turning to evolving to evil people or species or what. But we need a check, a reality check or something. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very middle. You know about the wetland down there where the other gentleman was talking about?
Uh-huh.
I'm real familiar, because when I was on the neighborhood board, they were trying to do some kind of development quite a while ago. And that place just becomes a lake. It probably was a lake yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we had all that rain. So I don't know how he's going to build any foundation on a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And as they used, because it goes up, I don't know how far that parcel goes up, you know, up to where that park.
Right, up to the
facility
park.
Is. But in the bottom part, that this is a lake down there.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be cattle pasture for as long as I can remember.
And are they spring fed or stream fed?
Well, there's probably some springs around there,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a drainage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if any stream is directly on one side of it,
mm-hmm.
or something, but the only thing I remember about that place is always flooded.
Right, and it's percolating down off the runoff from the mountain up
yeah,
top
it's
there.
It's got to be. It's the lowest place over there.
And it's pretty wet there, doesn't it? It rains quite often, right?
Yeah, it's level with sea level in reality. If you stand over there on the road and you look over to the left where I cleared away at one time,
mm-hmm.
through all that the house bush and stuff, and now it's all came back.
Right.
It was all swamp, you know, on both sides of the road.
Yeah.
Wow. You know? So I don't know how they're going to build anything over there unless it's just way up on the top. And, you know, buying all that land to make a building way up on the top, it doesn't make any sense.
Right, right. And then using septic tanks when we're trying to
fill. Oh, get the septic tank over there. They have to have above ground, you know, storage thing and then pump it out.
Right.
They can't dig in the ground over there.
So that would be that's a monumental task in itself.
Well, I don't know who's the persons that are buying it. And I think they're on a fallacy. I mean, because the neighborhood board has been against that any development on there ever since I can remember.
Which makes sense. We cannot lose any more wetlands than we should.
Oh, yeah, wetlands. Yeah, it's just crazy, you know what I mean? Because the birds did land in there, and all the aquatic stuff is, you know, lives off that. So I just hope that it just gets blown out of the water.
Okay.
I like to see the grass over there and stuff. It looks good, nice.
Oh, yeah. And
the hob bush is not over there. You know what I mean? It's on the other side of the road.
Right.
Kind of blocks the view. Because the view is a beautiful. I'll send you some pictures of the view plane when the community cleaned that all off.
Mm-hmm.
We wiped out all that stuff and it really came nice because the ponds came on the other side and the ducks would come there and it was, you know, such a beautiful scene, and now they just let it go back to Halbush.
Yeah, I've gone in and photographed some of the endangered birds that collect.
Yeah, they're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though some of them did get killed crossing the road and flying low over the over the road, because I was monitoring that for about 2 years, because I used to drive down to the gas station there, and I'd find the dead birds.
Right.
I'd take pictures of them. You know, smashed on the road. So it was kind of a magnet in the wrong place for, because they try to, you know, fly in and they come low enough on the roads.
Right.
A bus could hit them or a truck, you know, pretty high truck could hit them. Or they'd just be on the side of the road and got startled and got hit.
Right, got startled by a bus or a car feeding there when the water rises.
It's just a place that they actually should put a fence around it so they don't keep them going there and pollute it.
Right. Yeah. Well, we got another caller here.
Okay. You have a good week.
Hey, thank you. Aloha.
Take care.
Aloha. Thank you. Caller, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm not a biblical absolutist or anything. I mean, I'm as flawed as any man. But I think what the minimum we should take from all the religions is most of them say, you know, don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie, you know, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Just the basic, you know, building blocks of society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think people read too much into it. Oh, you know, revelations, you know, I mean, every 2 years is the end, right? So I think people, if you want to step back, and like you said, I think pretty much Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, I think they all kind of basically say, don't be an a-hole.
Right.
So
be an angel. That absolutely. Be an angel. Don't be. Yeah.
No.
But what's the answer? I mean, I believe religion got us to this point now. I won't say singularly that it contributed with a soul factor, but I believe that many of the people that I talk to, it's okay that to do what Trump is doing because they insert religion.
Well, I think that's wrong. I think there should be a separation of church and state, for one.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, and I mentioned that, and I say, you know, it's not, I'm not a church. And I'm not a state. I'm expressing my own opinion. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you're wedding it with your religious belief. You're saying that the Bible said it. And so I'm a little perplexed at it and don't have any answers, obviously. I find it rather comical because if you read the Bible, you can interpret it or have it interpreted for you. But still, you know when you go over the line and start hating people and categorizing it, all people as being evil from a certain religion, something you must have read something wrong or misunderstood one paragraph or something, right?
Well, and me, myself personally, I think, you know, a faith, any type of faith you have, should be a pretty personal thing. You shouldn't really wear it on your sleeve.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's I believe we are a large portion of our problem that we're experiencing today here in America starts with the good book, and the people's failure to understand it.
You know, the Quran causes in the rest of the world. So I think it's a larger problem. People just getting brainwashed by whoever talks to them.
Yeah. Okay. That's good point. But it's, I'm a little worried, but I'm also believing that in this whole process, as things, they swing one way, do you think it's going to enlighten Americans before we get worse? Or are we going to wake up one morning and say, oh, I got it. This is all nonsense. I'm hoping for that kind of moment.
But, well, you know, I certainly don't have the answer. And I guess we'll just see as it plays out, I guess.
All righty. Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Aloha.
Bye. Bye.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Hey, Carol. It's
yeah. Carol. Yes.
So I was just, I had a comment on that wetland, and then I also wanted to remind people about that house bill they were talking about last week. But, you know, the runoff of building on wetland must be astronomical, and the damage that it causes, thinking that even a fence causes a huge amount of runoff, unnecessary runoff, and damaging, you know, the ocean, and they should do a assessment on that, and and also I want to remind people about that House Bill 606 and 904 allowing county workers to go on private property and kill animals that they deem invasive. And find out more about that on that alleycats.org, where, you know, they seem to all get the details. And then the other thing that occurred to me about a fence, I mean, they want a lot of money to build a fence, and the impact of everything that that fence will entail, and the amount of money, and it's going to be for naught, because the rats are going to not be inhibited, and they're going to be worse in whatever area they try to fence off. And it just makes so much sense to have fixed cats as a feeding station and not desperate cats that are more wild. Like in Australia, where they made a wild cat, and now they're killing them with that slow kill poison that's horrible. It's killing a lot of other animals.
So Bill, House Bill 606 and 904. Okay.
Yeah, that's really horrifying that they want to do that, and they've been so aggressive against the trap neuter release management that does so much good and that needs to be helped rather than hindered. So I thought I'd bring that up again. Missed the first part of your show, but I'm glad that they're trying to save that wetlands, and I'm going to call in about that because, you know,
Alrighty.
The Mahalapu and everything else that they're trying to do to natural areas that are left, it's really scary.
Yeah, winner takes all, I guess. Now we're down to the last scraps of land that is set aside, or where native species can forage.
It's just all about growth. They don't think about the runoff or the amount of, you know, they just think about the dollars.
Yeah.
And no sense.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for calling.
No problem.
All right, aloha. Thank you. Yeah, there's a land grab, folks, like the Oklahoma land grab and all that. And, well, there just isn't that much here left. And for, I chuckle so often, I hear everybody waving the many of the local people that are related to business going, oh, yeah, come on, wave them on. But they're not consulting the captain of the ship or the guy who loads the ship to know, what's the carrying capacity? You can't wave every passenger onto the ship, because at some point the waymaster needs to step in and say, well, you know, we can only carry so much cargo. Well, barring from that, this island nation can only carry so much, and at some point collapse. And so that's the way things go. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead real quick. We got about 2 minutes.
Oh, hi.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The previous hour, you were talking about Donald Trump's tax returns.
No, I'm just querying why he wouldn't. He's not being consistent. He said he's motivated by his speech, campaign speeches, to continue and felt obligated, something to that effect, to continue to chase the people, you know, and round them up. So I suggested, well, gee, in the same spirit, he promised in his campaign that he would release his tax records. So let's have that too. Let's be across the board, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And just, I wanted to mention, maybe get your opinion on this. There is like a movement on tax day designed to get people out into the streets and demonstrating for this, that, you know, he's you know, doing all these awful things.
What date is that, by the way?
I think it's April 15th.
April 15th, the day that, okay, the due date of taxes and all. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had was told about it before, and I didn't bother to, you know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot more, and I'm hopefully one day someone can come up and tell me why is it that Americans, when I began to open the show and say that, isn't it funny, people here in Hawaii, if you live here in Hawaii, and I don't want to call it racism, but I'm going to call it racism for some, because some are motivated because of racism, and others are motivated because of just sheer ignorance and stupidity, and some are motivated by it. But the issue was that Obama comes out, had the nerve of him to come to Hawaii and play golf and spend so much money on vacation. We pay for that, you know.
Yep.
Well, we're paying for New York, Trump Tower, security and all, right? We're paying for Mar-a-Lago, and we're paying for the coverage of the White House, right?
Yeah.
So what is it about the people that spoke out against Obama and with the silliness, but now all of a sudden it doesn't faze them? So,
all right.
You know, I hope one thing in life, that cancer, they say the average old man going to get prostate cancer, something like that. But you know what I hope I'd never get is to become a racist, because you find yourself lying about everything. You find yourself excusing some of the most insane things and justifying things and rationalizing things that what normal human beings wouldn't do. So that's what I hope for. I'm hoping I never, ever catch that disease.
Well, I hope not, too. It sure would be a lot less fun to listen to if you went down that road.
Okay, well, thank you. We're going to get off of here. We're down to the last minute, so.
Thank you for taking my call.
Aloha. Thank you.
at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.